My dear Frodo, you asked me once if I had told you everything there was to know about my adventures. Well, I can honestly say I have told you the truth. I may not have told you all of it.
Bilbo Baggins, I'm looking for someone to share in an adventure.
I can't just go running off into the blue. I am a Baggins.
Wait!
Of Baggins.
Bilbo, allow me to introduce Feely, Keely, Oin, Loin, Darlin, Barlin, Biffa, Bofa, Bomba, Dory, Nori, Ori, and the leader of our company, Thorin Oakenshield.
Far over the misty mountains cold, to dungeons deep and caverns old, the pines were roaring on the height, the winds were moaning in the night, the trees like torches blazed with light.
I cannot guarantee his safety.
Understood.
Nor will I be responsible for his fate.
You'll have a tale or two to tell when you come back.
Can you promise that I will come back?
No. And if you do, you will not be the same.
Well, I am sure hoping that you guys are ready for a grand adventure, because that's exactly what I'm here to do tonight with all of you. Is I'm coming here to look for a bunch of people that want to share in a grand adventure. Just like Gandalf came to that little home and said to him, I'm looking for someone to share in an adventure. And the adventure that I'm hoping that you guys will engage in and share in is an adventure that is epic in every way. It is an unexpected life in every way that you can imagine, because following Jesus, when you understand what it really means, what it really boils down to, how it really plays out in your life, is in every way epic and unexpected. And we are desiring to figure out what it looks like to chase after Jesus and to follow him regardless of where he takes us. Now, I can't promise you that if you step onto this adventure, that it is going to be without its difficulties and its struggles. It will have its misty mountains without a doubt, and it will have its deep valleys. It will come with some weight beyond your wildest imagination, because whenever you enter into an adventure, you always enter into something bigger than yourself, beyond your capacity, beyond what you imagined, beyond what you thought. That is the point of an adventure. It takes you places you could not have imagined you would go. And so it comes with it. It comes with moments of darkness and difficulty and struggle. But it also comes with moments of extraordinary beauty and wondrous discovery. 10 years ago, I was invited into an adventure. I'd been living my life and wondering what God was going to do and wondering what we could do in the process of following Christ. And my wife and I were living in California, and the Spirit of God began to stir our souls and call us, invite us into an adventure. The Spirit of God said, I want you to go to the greater Orlando area, and I want you to start there an expression of this global movement that I call the church, that has spanned generations and span the globe, and I want you to launch, to birth a little local expression of that place. We came to Orlando 10 years ago with nothing but a dream and a prayer. That was it. I mean, literally, we had just about nothing. We didn't know why we were here. We didn't know what was going. We just know that God had specifically and very clearly laid on our hearts and spoken to our soul about being here in this place. and a large reason why the Spirit of God had invited us into this. He had made it so specific to my wife and I was this idea of this incredible world we call Disney, right? Because I knew something. You see, I knew that if we were going to start something that was going to be a birthing of the expression of the global church, we wanted to make sure that this particular expression would be part of the story that would change the entire world, the whole thing. And we knew then that in order to change the world, you have to look for places and things that are changing the world, and then you have to change them, and then they change the world alongside you. And Disney is everywhere. They're global. They're all over the place. And they are a place that shapes the minds and the hearts of our children. And I thought to myself, what would it be like if we could see the transformation of redemption take place in a place like Disney? And we could see the very DNA of Disney begin to shift into a redemptive reality that would beyond our wildest imagination. So we came to Orlando, my wife and I. We landed here with nothing, and we had this little dream. This little dream we had was very simple. We looked ahead 10 years from where we were. We stared down the corridor of time, and we looked ahead, and we thought to ourselves, I wonder what it would look like 10 years from now if we could develop a place that would allow anyone, regardless of their background and their journey, to have an authentic experience of God. That is a place that would allow people to walk in, and if they breathe in what they are experiencing, it would be like a breath of fresh air. They would just go, this place just feels like a breath of fresh air. What would that be like? See, in order to have an authentic experience of God and to breathe that kind of air, what we would need to do is we would need to be a place where people could discover the full reality of redemption. This word redemption, to redeem, to buy back. What does it actually mean? We dreamed of a place where people would begin to discover that when God redeems us, it is not simply and exclusively to rescue our soul so that one day in some future event, when we land past death and we enter into eternity, we will get to go to the right place. That's not what redemption is actually exclusively about. Redemption is so much more than that. And I think so often redemption is experienced as this thing you receive to stick in your back pocket and hold on to so when you die, you can present the card and go, can I go to the right place? When in fact what redemption is without a doubt the rescue of our soul so that we can be right with God and we can have right relationship with God so that we can be restored into this wonder of being part of the paradise and the wonder of where God is. But it is also this incredible moment where God restores to us our God-given created purpose. See, redemption is the rescue of our soul and the restoration of our purpose. And we wondered 10 years ago, what would it be like if we could have a place where people could come and discover this redemptive reality and begin to realize what it meant not only to have their soul rescued, but to have their purpose restored. That they would see, perhaps for the first time as they looked at their whole life, if they were married, their marriages, if they had kids, their kids, if they were in college, their college platform, if they were working at a workplace, their work platform, wherever they were looking, whatever they had been pursuing, whatever they had been chasing after, that they would suddenly see it for what it really was. An incredible opportunity to live out the God-given purpose to which we were now restored, the one we were created for, to make known the wonders, the extraordinary wonders of God. What would a place like that look like? What would happen when a gathering of people would come together and they would be stirred up inside by the Spirit of God and they would discover this incredible freedom that there was nothing left to do to make themselves right with God, that He had done that, and that they would be restored to this, and now they were compelled by this recognition of freedom to go out and live their lives on mission. What would a place like that look like? And what would happen? We dreamed 10 years ago. If over the next 10 years, at some point as we establish this place, that we could launch out of this place a group of people that intimately, deeply knew and were connected to the world of Disney. Because that was a dream of ours 10 years ago. I remember saying 10 years ago, I'm telling you, in the next 10 years at some point, we are going to have a little group of people having church right by Disney. And they're going to be like a bunch of Disney people. And they're going to love Disney. And they're going to work at Disney. And they're going to understand Disney. And they're going to begin to work in the inside, making this wonder known, bringing our dream of being a church that makes redemption known in this fullness. They're going to be bringing that into the context of Disney. We dreamed that 10 years ago. And we said, in the next 10 years, it's going to happen. People said to me, it doesn't happen around here. As we enter into 2013, every year, for the last 10 years at Mosaic, I have had the unique privilege of getting up the very first weekend of January and launching into the dreams and the visions we have for that year, in this case, 2013. I've been able to lay out, this is where we're going. This is what you should expect. This is what you should, as you look into this year, know that we are going to be doing what we're going to be about. And it's been a lot of fun, 10 years in a row to do that. But this year is a little different, I got to tell you. It's a little different. Because it's 2013, and this year, on Easter Sunday of 2013, Mosaic Church, the adventure that you are part of, the birthing of this place was born out of that dream. Mosaic Church turns 10 years old. And I get to stand Easter Sunday this year and plant my feet in the place that we could only see through our mind's eye 10 years ago. I get to go, are we there? Did we make it? Have we become a place where people have begun to recognize the full scope of redemption, the rescue of their souls, the restoration of their purpose, that they've been stirred up to live life on mission, that they've become people that are longing to change the world and change everything? And have we, here's the question, have we actually got a group of people meeting at Disney people who love Disney and want to be part of that story? I get to do that Easter Sunday. Now, I already know at least part of the answer, because we're right here. That's so much fun. And if you guys can just make it to Easter Sunday, we're going to be awesome. That's all we're asking. Just there. But I got to tell you, that's something else to stand here and to realize this is the year we walk into. So before I step into 2013 for you guys, and before I lay out for you what the Spirit of God is stirring in me, what we're dreaming up at Mosaic Church for this particular year, I feel like because of the uniqueness of this particular year, we need to take a jump 10 years ahead real quick. Just 10 years ahead, because we're at the 10-year mark, and now we're kind of there, so we got to ask ourselves, what happens in the next 10 years? Because you see, here we are, right? Here we stand. We have 2,000 people gathering every weekend that have been stirred into the reality of what it might mean to change the world because they've discovered the wonder of redemption, or they are in the middle of discovering it. And we have a group of people, a campus meeting at Disney. And I stand here and I go, what do you do with that? I mean, come on, really? 10 years ago, this is what I had. That! Nothing! Nothing! And now I stand here and I go, now we have so much! What do we do in 10 years when we have so much, when 10 years ago when we had nothing, we got here? And so I look ahead 10 years and this is what I see. I want to throw around for you just a couple of numbers real quick, because I want you to understand 10 years from now where I want to be planting my feet, where I want us to be planting our feet. Take a look at this number real quick. Here's a number, 150,000. 150,000. Anybody know what that number represents? 150,000. That number represents the approximate amount of people that Disney employs. Those are the cast members right there. 150,000 cast members worldwide. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? I want to throw another number on the screen here. 62,000. Anybody know what this number represents? There you go. You guys are so on it. This is the number of that 150,000 that are employed right here in this state at that company. Take a look at this. Disney cast members, Florida. 8,000 college interns. Those are the people that travel from all around the nation and come here to spend time here for that period where they learn and they grow and they're part of all that. That is the number that we have. Now, I want to show you this number. Take a look at this number. 20% of Disney cast members of Florida 14,000. 14,000 is the number that represents 20% of the cast members at Disney Florida. Is that a pretty big number, 14,000? It's a pretty big number. Do you know that if you look at the largest churches in the nation, those are the kinds of numbers you talk about, 14, 18, 20,000, the big numbers. You know why 20% is such a significant number? I'll tell you why it's such a significant number. Because sociologists tell us, after much study and looking at all their sociology kind of stuff, that if you take any community of people, any tribe, any corporation, any family unit for that matter, any city or any state or any nation, any group of people that you can draw a line around and say, this is a community. This community has a particular DNA, a particular reality that makes them them. If you take that group of people and you want an idea, a reality, to become part of the DNA of that particular community, that particular group of people, and you want to make sure that in any given period of time, all of the people in that entire community will encounter that idea in an experience that they feel, you need to have 20% of that community deeply bought into that idea. They need to have discovered it, they need to have absorbed it, and they need to be living it out. If 20% of any community lives out a particular idea, then that idea will, by definition, become part of the DNA of that community. And every person in that community will encounter that reality at some point in their journey within that community. Which means this: if we sit around here and we want to talk about real transformation, the real type of change, not the brochure type of change, the real deal where we say we can look back and we can say we have seen God transform our context through what he was doing with us through the gospel, then that number should become very important to us. Because that means that in the next 10 years, we want to see 14,000 people within Disney, Florida, 14,000 cast members that you work with, come to discover, experience, receive, grow in, and live out the gospel, the redemptive reality of Jesus. Not to convert them, but to allow them to discover the freedom that comes with gospel reality. Last night, I was over at a friend's house, dear friends of mine, and they're going through a very, very difficult time right now. They have a circumstance that has occurred in their life that is one of those mind-blowing circumstances that rocks the foundations of your world, right? I mean, you know, these things like death of a child or you know, broken marriage, I mean, those kinds of level of circumstance, and they have a circumstance that's going on in their life like that. And I was sitting with my friend at 11:30 last night at his house, and we were talking through this, and he looks at me and he says this to me. He says, you know what, Renaud? You know what's insane? That if any person that did not know God could trade places with me right now, right here, they could trade with me and they could sit in my life for one day in the midst of this particular circumstance, what they would experience, what they would see through the biblical community that we have, through the Word of God as it has spoken to my life, through the Spirit of God as He has moved, through the miraculous events that are taking place around us, they would never, ever go back to where they came from. That's what he said to me. He should be weeping and crying over the circumstances in, and that was his statement. If people could trade places with me right now, they'll never go back. And I thought to myself last night, that's why we carry redemption into the world. That's it. We carry it in because we've discovered a freedom so extraordinary that we would want everyone we know to experience this freedom. So as we walk into the reality of Disney, Florida, your reality, we walk in there over the next 10 years with this dream that 10 years from now, there would be 20% of the greater Disney cast member community that would be deeply impacted by the reality of redemption, which actually for you guys gets really complex because in 10 years from now, there'll be a whole different group in here and a whole different group will have left. So you guys actually have to talk 50%, because if you talk 50%, then we might hit 20% at any given time. That's what we want to see happen. Now, to hit 14,000 people and to have them come to discover the reality of the gospel is bigger than our capacity, isn't it? It's bigger than us. It's bigger than anything we could imagine. So we have to collaborate and partner with other movements within this particular story, this particular context of this particular community. We have to come alongside of them as they come alongside of us. Then we have to move together so that we together can see movements like Crew that you guys know so well that are making such incredible impact in this place. We need to step in with them and go, let's do this together. And then 10 years from now, we will see extraordinary change. Now, watch this. While you guys are busy diligently running hard after the context of Disney, Florida, and you're doing that, don't ever forget that Disney, Florida has 62,000 cast members. That is a number that is a portion of 150,000 cast members worldwide. Do you know what we want to do in the next 20 years? We want to establish little churches just like this at every single Disney World and place and everything else around the globe, so that everywhere we can start dreaming in 10 years, when we see 20% of Disney Florida deeply engaged in the gospel, we're going to start dreaming about Disney worldwide. And we're going to start going, what does it look like if 20% of Disney worldwide experience the wonder of redemption? You are part of a very big story, and you play a very critical and important role right here, because your story is part of two massive stories. You're part of Disney Worldwide that we want to change over the next 20 years, and you're also part of Orlando, Florida, and you're part of Mosaic Church, and Mosaic Church has a dream too. Mosaic Church Orlando has a dream that 20% of Orlando would come to experience the gospel. Take a look at this number real quick. See this number? Oh, that's a really big number. Before we jump to that number, let me tell you about one other number. It may not be on the slideshow. 2.135 million people live in the greater Orlando area. And while you guys are diligently working to see 20% of your cast member community come to experience the reality of redemption, we are diligently working to see 20% of our city come to experience the reality of redemption. That is 427,000 people in Orlando that we have to go out and reach with the gospel in the next 10 years. And here's what's going to happen. If we as Mosaic Church are working diligently on the city of Orlando, while you as Mosaic Church are working diligently on the city of Disney, and we see 20% of both those worlds come to experience the gospel as we collaborate with numerous other people doing the same thing, then this is what happens. That number right there, 51,450,000. Do you know what that is? Visitors to Orlando. Do you know where they come? Just in case you don't know, they come to Disney. That's where they come. So actually, Orlando and Disney, this number is very close to equal. And they come here to visit Disney. What does it begin to look like 10 years from now? If you, as a visitor from somewhere else in the nation, 47,800,000 domestic visitors every year in Orlando coming to Disney, that as you drive from the airport, you can't get off the plane in Orlando, drive through a toll booth, get to a grocery store, enter into one of the parks, stand in a line, and wait without encountering somebody that is allowing the redemptive nature of the gospel to be made known to you through their actions in their life. That you leave Orlando after a week going, that place is so weird, but in all the right kinds of ways. There's something about that city, something about that park that's just, I don't know how to put my fingers on it, but I want to go back. See, that's what we become. We begin to shape our nation and our globe, because we are a very unique city, and Disney is a very unique place. And Disney, Florida is the pinnacle of where you want to visit if you're going to go to Disney. So you guys have an incredible privilege. If we can see the redemptive reality of the gospel shape Disney, then the redemptive reality of the gospel will begin to shape the world, no matter what. So how on earth are we going to do this? Because this is bigger than anything we could possibly imagine. Well, I'll tell you. I'll tell you what we're going to have to do. We are going to have to pack our little bags of all the things that we've been pursuing our whole life. We're going to have to take all of our dreams and all of our hopes and all of the life that we are creating for ourselves for the future and all the things we wanted to become and all the things that we dream of being, and we're going to have to pack them into a little bag, put them on our back and say, God, I don't know what you're going to do with my life, but I have come to realize that all the dreams I have, all the things you've called me to, all the things I want to accomplish in the entertainment industry, all the things I want to see happen in the world of Disney, all those dreams, I'm going to hand them back to you. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to take them with me because you gave them to me, but they're yours to do with whatever you want. Because I realize now that the adventure you've called me into is not an adventure of becoming the top of my game in the entertainment world. It is actually an adventure of utilizing the platforms of my talents and my gifting and what I'm able to do to carry into that world the redemptive nature of the gospel, to make known to people the extraordinary freedom that comes with knowing Jesus Christ. And I'm going to run on that adventure. See, we're going to have to take seriously what we've discovered up to now, and we're going to have to take very seriously what we're about to discover in 2013. See, what we discovered up to now is this, and you guys have been on this journey with us for a little while now. We bumped into Jesus a little while ago, did we not? And we started following him through the Gospels a little ways. We started watching him. We started listening in to what he was saying. Because you see, what happened was, in the Old Testament, we discovered years ago that God began to stir in us a promise of somebody coming, something coming that was going to redeem everything, buy everything back from the death and lostness that we had. And when we stood and watched Jesus born onto this planet, we knew then something big had happened. And after that happened, we followed Jesus and we began to realize something about him. That everything he said, everything he did was an unexpected life, was it not? I mean, everything he ended up saying, teaching, doing, we would just stand back and go, that is just so different. So completely weird. And yet, something about it so attractive and wondrous. Because you see, it was almost as though Jesus was from another place, another kingdom, a kingdom that we longed for, that we felt was perhaps a part of our story a long, long time ago, but that we had lost in the midst of our journey. And we started discovering that Jesus was inviting us back to live a life in that kingdom. To live a life on this planet, but with our eyes fixed on that kingdom. And then we stood. We stood there as Jesus floated up from planet Earth into heaven. And we kind of went, it was cool to have you here, but where are you going? And then it dawned on us. See, Jesus told us, I'm going to leave now. But I'm not leaving to leave you alone. It's something far more unexpected than that. I am leaving so that I will no longer be by your side with you, but I will be in you with you. That's a whole different ballgame. See, there's a whole different ballgame walking next to Jesus, watching him do stuff, and then going, can I try that? And he goes, here, touch this person. Pow! Whoa, that's awesome! That's one thing. It's a whole nother thing to see Jesus say, I'm going to return and I'm going to come into you and you are going to become my body and I'm going to work through you. See, right now you're experiencing me because I have a body. It's kind of a weird thing to think about, but think about it for a second. I have a body, so you can hear me talking, you can see me moving my arms, you can see my facial expression, so you can experience Renault. This is not Renault. This will be dead someday, and I will still be well and alive, thank you very much. So all you're really experiencing is my body. Can you imagine what it might be like if you could experience my spirit right now without my body? One of two realities would be true. Either you would be running, screaming out of this room because I would be floating off the ground, glowing and going, do not be afraid, and you'd be screaming and running, or you wouldn't even know I was here because I would be invisible to you. But you see, none of that's true because I have a body. And Jesus said to us, I am going to make you my body, and the world is going to experience me through you. They can no longer see me until they see me through you. And then it happened. We went and we sat and we waited. And that's where we've kind of ended 2012. But you see, Brady and I, we've been running through the book of Acts. We've been studying ahead of you guys because we got to stay ahead. And I got to tell you, it is so exciting what we are discovering. So tonight, I'm going to give you a little sneak peek. Nothing too big, nothing too much, because next week we launch into the book of Acts and it's going to be crazy cool. But I got to give you a little sneak peek because you have to realize what is happening and what is about to happen in our lives as a church here and how that is going to begin to impact everything about where we're going. So in the beginning of the book of Acts in chapter 2, first and foremost, the most crazy cool thing happens. These guys are sitting around waiting because Jesus told them, go back and wait and something awesome is going to happen to you. Someone is going to come and he's going to come into you and you're going to receive him and it's going to be incredible. And they're sitting in this room and suddenly the Holy Spirit arrives in the book of Acts. He comes. They did not have him and now they have him. And it's so tangible so that they don't have to go, whoa, I had a little weird feeling. Did you feel that? I think I felt that. Well, how did it feel to you? Maybe we just got the Spirit. That's not how it played out at all. It played out this way, right? There was wind and there was shaking and there was these flames floating in the air. And they were like, what are those? And then they came over each one of them like, oh, it's over me. And then maybe it didn't play out quite that way, but if I were there, that's how it would have played out with me. And it was floating. And then they received the Spirit of God. Now, I'm giving you too much detail already because we're going to get into that story, but they received the Spirit of God. That's how the whole story begins in the book of Acts. They received the Spirit of God tangibly, directly. Just as we have been told in Scripture that when we come to know Jesus, we receive the Spirit of God. But you see, in receiving the Spirit of God, that was just the beginning. What the Spirit of God then began to do in them was unthinkable, unexpected, wondrous. See, what began to happen then, we find out in Acts chapter 2, in verse 42, is this. After they received the Spirit, and Peter gets up and he preaches, thousands of people are suddenly impacted by redemption and they come together. And this is where we end chapter 2. The Spirit starts chapter 2 and chapter 2 ends this way. Verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. That's it. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What was the apostles' teaching? The apostles were certainly teaching the Old Testament and how Jesus had come to fulfill the Old Testament and all about how Jesus fit into the Old Testament and all about how the Old Testament was all about Jesus. They were certainly teaching that. So the apostles' teaching is certainly all of the Old Testament that we currently have today still. But you know what else the apostles' teaching was? The apostles began to teach new revelation through the Spirit of God that ended up going out in letters to the churches all around. And in those letters and gospels and explanations, they ended up becoming the canon of our New Testament. See, the apostles' teaching is right here with us. And those guys devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. They were deeply devoted to learning the Word of God, the revealed Word of God. And then they got together in fellowship, and it said they fellowshipped together and broke bread. And God called them into community, biblical, wondrous community. And that's where that chapter ends. It starts with the receiving of the Spirit, and it ends with a devotion to the Word of God and a connection to the community of God. And then the rest of the book of Acts, I'm not going to give it all away, but it starts in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, the first time where Peter is going out and it says, and Peter, filled with the Spirit, did these crazy cool things. And then throughout the book of Acts, it's like, filled with the Spirit, and filled with the Spirit, and filled with the Spirit. And you find out in the book of Acts, you can't go anywhere in the book of Acts without finding out that they were deeply engaged in the Spirit of God. You see, they received him in the beginning of the book of Acts, but then they constantly are saying, he's right here, he's with us, he's filling us, he's empowering us. Paul later on writes in a letter to the churches and says, do not get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. You see, there is this sense that though we have received the Spirit, we need to engage in the Spirit. The Spirit of God, once he comes, engages us deeply in the Word of God, engages us deeply in the community of God, and then engages us deeply in himself. And we learn what it looks like to walk in the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, to experience the power of the Spirit. That's what happens in the beginning of the book of Acts. And you know what that leads to? You know what it leads to when a community of people are deeply devoted to the Word of God, deeply connected to the community of God, and deeply engaged with the Spirit of God? Let me show you exactly what happens. It's also in the book of Acts chapter 2, right there. And I just passed it, and I'm going back. Take a look. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, then verse 43 says this, and awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed went together and had all things in common. Does that sound ordinary to you? That is not ordinary. That is not normal. That has nothing to do with our world. Our world tells you, you grab whatever you can get as fast as you can get it, you hold on to it, you pursue your dreams, and you do whatever it takes. And by the way, be nice to other people because it'll make you feel good and it'll be good for your future. It's all about you. Everything is about you. That's what the world tells us. And you know what happens with a group of people that suddenly discover themselves captivated by the Spirit of God, engage deeply in biblical community, engage deeply in the Word of God, and engage deeply in the Spirit of God? They suddenly start living an unexpected life in an unexpected way. And people look into that unexpected life and go, what on earth is that? That is how we change the world. We start living unexpected lives. We love unexpectedly. We forgive unexpectedly. We humble ourselves unexpectedly. We give advantage to others. What? Unexpectedly. We step out of the way when our dream is within reach so somebody else can reach theirs. Unexpectedly. We deal with adversity unexpectedly. We deal with struggle unexpectedly. When we don't get what we want, we look different than the rest of the world does. We start living a completely unexpected life. Because why? We've received the Spirit and we're deeply engaged in those things that the Spirit engages us in. And so our lives become unexpected lives. See, the secret to reaching 14,000 people in the world of Disney isn't for us to become a giant church. It's not the secret. It's not in the bigness that we're going to reach people with the gospel. It's in the smallness, in your story and in mine, in your day and in mine. It's in Tuesday and on Friday. It's on Thursday and on Wednesday. It's when you do unexpected things because you are living an unexpected life. And then we will change everything with the gospel. So, if we are going to do this, if we're going to go lead these unexpected lives and live in this incredible way, despite the fact that there's a million reasons not to, what are we in 2013 as Mosaic Church going to be doing? What can you expect right here, Mosaic WDW? What can you expect from being part of this story right here? Let me sum it up for you real quick. Here it goes. First things first, we are going to engage you. That's what we're going to do. We're going to engage you. We're going to engage you deeply, and we're going to engage you specifically, and we're not going to apologize for it, and we're going to push you, and we're going to shove you, and we're going to do whatever it takes. And here's what we're going to engage you in. First, we're going to engage you in biblical community, in the community of God. We are going to beg you, plead with you, challenge you, kick you, scream at you, and do whatever else it takes with you to get you deeply engaged in the community of God here. You are not going to get to sit around here and go, I can float on the sides. That's not going to happen this year. Not in 2013. Not while we run here. And then as you deeply engage in the community of God, that community that you're deeply engaged in all the context that you engage in that community, is going to push you and challenge you to deeply engage in the Word of God. Us Americans, we are the most lazy people on the planet when it comes to the Word of God. We memorize 3 verses in our lifetime and we carry them around and we throw them around every time we have an issue, and that's all God's got to speak to us. Back to James chapter 1 verse 2. You don't really need it right now, but it's all I got. We don't know the Word of God at all. And when I say something like this to you, in 2013, in January, we're going to memorize the book of James. You go, whoa, what? Are you insane? Okay, chapter 1. No. How about verse 1? Give me 2 weeks, maybe 3, possibly a month. I don't know. It's hard. That's our attitude toward the Word of God. It's crazy. When it waits for us, and Jesus says to us through Paul, make sure that the Word of God dwells richly in you. Be engaged in the Word of God. In 2013, by the end of this year, we're going to look around at you and going to say, here at Mosaic WDW, we engaged you in biblical community, in the community of God, and we engaged you in the Word of God. That's what we did. And then we're going to engage you in the Spirit of God. Because as you discover the community of God and the Word of God, and you guys speak into each other's lives, and you encourage each other, and you experience the Spirit through each other, and you see things and wondrous and crazy cool things, and you engage in the Spirit of God, we are going to see that unfold. What does engagement in the Spirit of God look like? It's really simple. We're going to discover together as we walk through the book of Acts what it looks like to live a life that is full of the Spirit, that the Spirit fills us constantly, regularly, in extraordinary ways. And you know what we discover in Scripture? Every time the Spirit of God fills people, crazy cool things start happening. The gifts of the Spirit, yes, the Spirit actually has gifts, are born out of us. You're walking along and suddenly you're hospitable to people you don't even like. And hospitality is born out of you. You go, whoa, hospitality, that was, where did that come from? The Spirit of God just filled me again. You're walking along and you don't know what to do and suddenly there's wisdom. Wisdom, wisdom, oh, whoa, where did that come from? Spirit of God filled me with wisdom. We're walking along and suddenly, bam, there it is. Faith, a faith you couldn't possibly have, a faith you shouldn't have, and it's born. And you know, he's so strategic, God. He doesn't give any one of you all of them. He just gives some of them to each one of you so that we have to remain deeply in community in order to experience them as one unit. And when all the gifts of God are working together, we see things we shouldn't see. We know things we shouldn't know. We experience things we shouldn't experience. We touch each other and we heal soul, spirit, and body with the Spirit of God moving through us. We see miraculous and wondrous things begin to occur. We see unexpected lives. Oh, and the filling of the Spirit is just so evident to us. We're going to go and we're going to discover what that looks like this year. And then we're going to discover what it means to walk in the Spirit. And you know what Paul says? When we walk in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit are born in us. The fruit of the Spirit. You know what the fruit of the Spirit are? Listen to these words. They are incredible words. Think of a life with these words. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Oh God, that my children could just have one of them. Oh, I could check in my parenting card. Imagine if they had all nine. Imagine if we did as a community. You came into this community and that's what you experienced. You bump into one of you while you're about your business in the park and that's what you experience. We're going to engage you deeply. So here's what I see in 2013 for Mosaic WDW. We're going to have little, missional, biblical communities all over the world of Disney. Little, missional, biblical communities. We have a word for them around here at Mosaic. Life groups. We're going to have life groups everywhere. They're going to be hidden in every corner. They're going to be all over. And you won't be able to turn left or right by the end of 2013 without bumping into one of them and going, whoa, it's a life group. It's a little missional biblical community right here in the middle of Disney. Yes, by end of 2013, that's what we're going to have. And we're going to get you engaged in those little missional biblical communities. And then we're going to take all those little missional biblical communities called life groups and we're going to gather them together every now and then, once a week in a place like this. We're going to say, come gather together and let's celebrate what God has been doing, what the Spirit of God has been doing through our little missional biblical communities all week long. And we're going to worship God and we're going to celebrate and we're going to hear from God's word and we're going to be inspired to continue to strive forward, to speak the gospel into each other's lives, to make the Spirit known to each other as he works through us to be the body of Christ. And you're going to go back out to those little missional biblical communities and you're going to live it out during the week. And they're going to be your support and you're going to cry with them and you're going to laugh with them and you're going to struggle with them. And when you're in the misty mountains or in the deep valleys, they're going to be there with you. And it's going to be awesome. And they're going to be everywhere. And then as we gather you together here, we're going to birth right here in these gatherings. We're going to birth little missional biblical communities that we're going to call ministry teams. Little groups of people that spend their energy on developing the ministries you need to be cared for and that your cast member friends need to be cared for. It's going to be tech teams and it's going to be worship teams and it's going to be kids teams and it's going to be all sorts of cool little ministry teams. And all they are really is little missional biblical communities. And I see them everywhere. And through that world, we are going to begin to see an extraordinary thing happen. We are going to engage you. We are going to equip you through that world, giving you all that you need to be ready to know the gospel well, to know the word well, to know the doctrines of the faith well, to know mission well, to know how to handle the scriptures well in your daily lives. And then all we need to do is facilitate for you, just facilitate for you missional living in the context of your world, Disney. We're going to make you aware of all the opportunities by which you can engage in living on mission at Disney. And we're going to tell you, you little missional biblical communities, go live on mission together. Change the scope of this world. And in 2023 Easter Sunday, we're going to stand here together. Maybe not here. We're going to be right inside a park on a stage. It's going to be awesome. Mark that right now. Mark it down. It's going to happen. And we're going to be celebrating the fact that we have transformed the reality of this world called Disney here in Florida because we started now engaging deeply in the community of God, the Word of God, and in the Spirit of God. So once again, I want to tell you, I'm here tonight looking for a bunch of people who are interested in going on an epic adventure. It won't be easy. It won't always be fun. And it will probably cost you your very dreams. But if you lose your life for the sake of Christ, I promise you, because He said it, you will find a life that will be yours, that will be more wondrous and more amazing than anything you could have ever dreamed up, any dream you could have ever held on to. Because He said, if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. But if you try to hold on to your life, it will slip through your very fingers and you will lose it. Let's go change the world together. You do Disney, we'll work on Orlando, and we'll become a city on a hill, and Disney will become a company that will forever shape the landscape of this planet through the gospel. Who knew? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for all that you have done and all that you are doing. We are so excited to be standing here on the edge of a new dream waiting for us to go and chase after and grab a hold of and waiting for us to engage in. And God, as we enter into the book of Acts, we just can't wait to discover what you have for us there, what you're going to do as you show us what it means to be deeply engaged in biblical community, deeply engaged in your word, and deeply engaged in you, Spirit of God. We ask you to rise up in us, to stir up in us a deep desire to surrender all of ourselves, to surrender all of our dreams, to surrender all that we have been pursuing, to give it to you and to say, whether you ask me to continue to pursue that or not is not the point. It's yours to do with what you want. If you give me my dreams, I'll use them to make the gospel known. And if you don't, I'll use that to make the gospel known. They're yours. May we surrender our lives to you, God. Show us how to do that. And then show us what an epic adventure waits for us when we give you everything. And we run diligently after you. Help us pack our bags and help us go. Go into all the world, especially into the world of Disney, and take the gospel with us. We love you, Jesus.